So I'm thinking about generosity because at this time people get extra generous, or at least it feels like it. Gifts come out, we go and we buy things, we try to think about our friends and family, we say to ourselves, how can I help them, how can I bless them? Maybe you're going to give to our hampers. I would encourage you, bring in an item or two for our hampers. If you're not local, then send us some money so we can buy some items. We're going to buy 400 of everything and build quality hampers for our community and bless the people most at need and that would really be blessed by these hampers. And so there's something about Christmas where we get extra generous. We start to be mindful of the generosity that we should be showing to other people. And we said to ourselves, you know what? I want to be kind. I want to be generous. And as we looked at last week, I want to be compassionate. And of course, generosity means we start to look like our dad. Our Father in heaven was so generous, wasn't he? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his son. And we've seen it from the start and we'll see it to the end. Because the Father's coming back for us. He sent his son again to redeem us completely and take us all the way to heaven. He's coming again. And we are mindful of this, and there's an urgency on our message, and it's why we go with so much tenacity to share the good news of Jesus. You see, at this time, we buy gifts, we donate, we give, we do all that we can because we feel it's our duty to. And I want to say to you that God is generous, and that's why there's a generous spirit within each and every one of us, not just if you're a Christian, because there's just something about it. And when we fight against it, we get that Scrooge thing. And if you've seen the movie, you realize by the end of it, Scrooge is like, I don't want to be mean and twisted anymore. I want to be kind and generous. And that's who we all are, because we've been made in the image of God. It's just fear that causes us to change. And I want to challenge that today. Matthew 1:2-3 says this, a virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. And of course, Emmanuel means God with us. This is how generous God was, that he would have a plan, that he would send his son, and even his name would mean generosity. God with us. He walked with us. Imagine this for a moment. He walked. You can go to places in Israel, you can go to places in the Middle East, and you can walk in the footsteps of God himself, Jesus. And Jesus came because of God's generosity. When we were in trouble, he sent his best. He sent his best. And I want you to think about that when it comes to generosity, because that's really the heart of generosity. It's above and beyond. It's your best. It's not what you can. It's your best. And I think for a lot of us, we do really well to give our kids the best. In fact, some people go too much to the best. Where they put themselves in debt for months. And I say, don't do it because it is not worth that. But the heart is there. They want to be generous. The heart is there. And if we could get that into the right way and focus onto the right things and the right spirit with God's help, I tell you what, again, we're going to change the world because generosity is the heart of God. Generosity is the reason why the Son came. And so what a thought that Jesus came to earth. Generous with the Son, generous with his grace, with his forgiveness, with his love, generous in all his ways. And God's calling each and every one of us to be generous, especially if you're a son of the living God, especially if you're a believer in Jesus, because our goal is to become more like Christ, isn't it? And every day, the Holy Spirit's working in us so that we can become more like him. And so how do we go above and beyond with our time, our actions, our money, our love? I think it gets practical. Same with compassion. I mean, compassion has to look like something. Generosity has to feel like something. It has to become something. It has to be felt. It has to be seen. It has to be noticed. It will encounter people's lives. When we are generous, we will encounter people's lives. And they will know it, and they will feel it, and there'll be a moment. It's just undoubted. They got that gift. They received that from you. They were aware of that. It hit them right in the face, right between the two eyes. Your generosity. Philemon 1:6 says this, and I'm praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. Notice that. You'll put into action the generosity that comes from your faith. There's a generosity in your faith in Christ. What you are hidden with Christ, and Christ is in you, and you're in him. And inside of that faith, there is a generosity that springs up like a well. And God's saying, just let it flow. And it flows with love, and it flows with compassion, and it flows with generosity. And for a lot of other people, they go, it doesn't make any sense. But for us that are in faith, it's just who we are. It is our DNA that you'd experience all the good things that we have in Christ. It's an overflow from what Jesus has done in us. And this is really the heart of generosity, isn't it? The Father comes, the Father creates the heavens and the earth, the Son comes into the world, and he dies in our place. And from that point of blessing and generosity, it starts to spring up in our hearts. It's like the seed gets planted and the generosity starts to grow. And I tell you what, you've got to let it go. And it affects your mood. It does. It affects how you feel. It'll affect your emotions. It's a great cure for depression. It's a great cure for complaining. It's a great cure for not feeling your best. Generosity. It's something we got to teach ourselves. It's something that we got to do. It's something we've got to let flow out, and it's got to get practical. You see, the more we know Jesus, the more generous we will become, an overflow of what we've already been given. Proverbs 11:25, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. A generous person will prosper, and whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. And so a key principle in generosity is this, is that it's about giving away. It's not about giving to get. And I know we tend to do this when it comes to the presents. You know, I give because they give, or, you know, I'm giving because I know well they're going to give me. And so I don't want to look bad, or I don't want them to feel bad, or I don't want them to feel like I don't care. And so we give. And it's this cycle of they're giving, we're giving. We might as well keep our money and not do it. But we know the point about giving. It's to show and express our love. And it's much more than just passing gifts. It's deeper than that. But can I say that generosity in Christ is given with no thought of return? Jesus goes to the cross hoping and has a deep desire that people will come to him, but he knows full well that lots won't. I mean, that doesn't stop us from sharing the good news, but we're aware of this. I mean, it's not a 50-50 thing. It's not one for one. It's not two for one. It's not three for one. It's just give and trust God. Give by faith from where from the place that he's given you with no thought of return, because it doesn't really matter, because I'm given from him. I'm not given for you. Now, I want to bless you, but I'm not given for return. I want to be generous towards you, but the heart of generosity is not to get something back. The heart of generosity is just to give. It's to pour out. You know what I'm saying? And I want to really bank that into your heart, because otherwise we can get frustrated. We can think that people's mean. We can even think that people are rude. But the heart of generosity does not need a return. It's all about giving. Amen? Being generous is all about giving, not receiving. And so I want us to think about faith and generosity for a few moments. I want us to think about this. I want us to think that, you know, you've got your faith and you've got generosity. And in fact, I think that they only work truly together. I think when you've got faith, generosity starts to spring up. Can you have generosity without faith? Yes, of course. But it doesn't have the same, does it? I mean, you can be generous, but I think you need something in return, because where's it coming from? I guess you can give it and be so good in yourself that you're all right with that. But I tell you what, we give from a place of getting already. We give from a blessing that's already been on us. We give from a faith source. We give from Jesus himself, because we know we have every good gift from him, and we literally pass it on. It's like Chinese whispers. He gives, I give, you give. We repeat, repeat, repeat. And so, of course, you can give from yourself, but it's not the same. We have an inflow, and then we flow it out with rich generosity. It's married to our faith. It's about our faith. And God calls us to be generous in faith. And I say this, let it all be rooted in Jesus. 2 Corinthians 8:2, we're going to spend a bit of time here, but let's have a look at it. It says, in the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty, get ready for this, welled up in rich generosity. You're thinking joy and poverty, they're doing pretty well. I mean, the idea of rich generosity, no, this doesn't happen. It usually goes, you're doing well, and then you're generous. It's like life's really good, you've had an overflow, you give from that. And I want to say to you, there's nothing really wrong with that, but is that real generosity? I don't want to give from my overflow, I want to give from him. It's not the extra I'm given. I'm giving my best. Remember that. Generosity is not giving your extra. Generosity is giving your best. It's like God, he didn't send his angel a bit of an extra. He sent his son. He sent Jesus to pour out in spite of our welcome, in spite of our actions. I mean, he didn't come because we're good. He came because we needed him. He came because he's love. He knew we needed rescued. This is the heart of generosity. We don't give because we like it. I mean, we're not being generous to this one because they're a nice person, so we'll be generous to them. Can that work out? Of course. But that's not the primary reason. We're not being generous because we have lots, although we do in Christ. But it's not based on the overflow, and it's not based on them. It's we look and we say, what? My Father's been generous to me. I'm going to give my best to them. I can see. I want to be generous in return. It's a deeper thing. It's a heart thing. It's a faith thing. And as the men and the women at this point in 2 Corinthians, and I'm going to bring some context, it says they were in the midst of severe trial, very severe trial. Their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. This, come on, guys, come on, vibe. This is not the formula for rich generosity. You do not put joy and poverty together to equal rich generosity. You put joy and overflow, or joy and excess, or joy and more than enough equals rich generosity. You don't put poverty in there. But when we're in Christ, we realize, wow, doesn't matter about our circumstances. We're going to flow from Him. See, our circumstances, and this is such a key point, and I really want to put this in, it should not hamper our generosity. Now, you may want to be generous in a certain area. If you haven't got it, you can't give it. But you can be generous in other things. I mean, your time is the most valuable thing that you have. I know that money's important and that's involved in generosity, absolutely. But your time is incredibly valuable, the most valuable thing you have. And you can always give time. And you can always pray for someone. And you can always come alongside someone. And you're giving your best. Remember, it's not if I can fit you in. It's I'm making an adjustment because I'm giving you my best. It's what we do with our kids. It's what we do with the ones that we love. It's what we do when something's really important to us. And I want to shift our mindset today that we're doing it from the inside out, not from the outside, and then we'll get back to inside. Because if we do that, then it depends on them. And I want to do it from here out. I don't want to do it from there in, because I have a source. I have a sustainer. I have a redeemer. I have Jesus Himself, and He is supplying all of my needs. You see, in fact, we take joy in Jesus in all seasons. And so no matter if it's poverty season, no matter if it's trial season, no matter if it's sickness season, and I know there's been a lot of sickness going around, and we really pray in Jesus' name an end to scarlet fever and strep A, because if you're in our area, that's really what's going on right now. An end in Jesus' name. COVID gone in Jesus' name. We continue to pray for that. Please partner and continue to pray on that. But we always have this joy because we've got Jesus. But let me give you some context to the verse here. Let me give you some context to what's going on. They're in severe, severe trials. There's famine. There's no money. It's crazy. I mean, we know what we're feeling right now. Times it by 10, even more, maybe even 50 back in this time, in this season in history. And yet in the midst of it, it was joy. It doesn't really matter what comes after this. I go to generosity. Because joy, Jesus plus anything equals what I need. Jesus plus anything, no matter if it's a negative or a bad, I've got Him, so it changes everything. And generosity begins to flow. And isn't it incredible that the natural outflow, that the natural thing that came next when you're in joy in Jesus, when you have Him, when your joy is in Him, when your faith is in Him, it's just you start to be like Him. You become generous. You become generous. Jesus didn't come because the world was good. Jesus came because the world was doomed. It was riddled with sin. And we are generous because we see a world that's riddled with lack. And we have a Father that always sows abundance. Come on, guys, we let this thing out. We flow this thing out. You see, Jesus was all they had. They had extreme poverty, but Jesus was all they had. They trusted, and this is so important, they trusted that God would still allow them to be generous, even in a crazy season. They trusted God because their generosity comes from God, not from their circumstances. They trusted God because their generosity comes from God, not with the excess or the overflow or anything else. They trusted God above what they seen everybody else, because they're like, we should always be generous. This is who we are as men and women of Christ. And maybe it's turning some things around in our head, but let it be so, because God wants to do it. See, generosity is linked to God first, not to them, not to us, not to circumstances, not to the poverty, not to anything else. It's linked to God first. And remember, the heart of God is always good. It's always to give. It's always switched on towards you. It's always love towards you. And it's always generosity time with God. He's always blessing. He's always setting us up for generosity. See, their poverty led them to a wealth of generosity. Wow. Could you imagine that just for a minute? Oh, like, how are you getting on? Yeah, like really, really tough, but it's just leading us to a wealth of generosity. You'd be like, what are you, what are you taking? Is your head okay? Like, is everything all right with you? We would say you should examine yourself. We would be indicted about that person's sanity. But in their poverty, in their extreme poverty, in their extreme season, they rose up with wealthy generosity. Wow. Because of the love of God, because of the grace of God, because of the closeness to Jesus they had, because of the joy that was in them. And so that joy plus poverty equals rich generosity. And so here's my challenge, church. Come on, we don't need to take a long time at this. We get it. We get it. It's just we have to practice it now. You know, we got to be obedient with some things. And then as we practice them, as we become obedient, then we start to find a joy in it. You know, it's a bit like giving, tithing. You know, you don't really want to tithe because at the end of the day, who wants to give away their money? Come on, let's be real. You don't really want to give away your money. But as you get the right heart and the right spirit and you get a conviction from God, but better than all of that, you just become obedient to God because God's told us to already give. There's no real praying or thinking in it. You just do it. But as you become obedient, you will find there's a depth in that obedience. There's a doorway to freedom that you didn't even think was there because you don't associate obedience with freedom. But if you're obedient to good things, you will walk into more and more freedom. And God says, this is a principle that you need to learn. You're a man and woman of generosity. You're a man and woman that in every season, you begin to rise up with generosity because the Spirit of the living God is inside of you. And so, church, I want to say this. I know there may be less tins in the cupboard. I know there may be less pounds in the bank account. But I think just like the men and women way back here, and I think it was in 40, 50 AD, Jerusalem, it's that they trusted God all the more because they knew his spirit and his heart was generosity. And they said, we will not hold back our generosity. And in the midst of all that poverty, in the midst of all that pain, in the midst of all that lack and loss, they rose up with rich generosity. Wow. Wow. And so, church, here's my challenge. We're in 2022. We're getting squeezed. The bills are going up. There's caps, but they're going to get lifted. There's less in the cupboard. I get that. There's less money in the bank account. Seems to be less time. We're in a crazy season. But I tell you what, if you trust God and trust that his heart is still for wealthy generosity, then I know that he's going to provide the answers for you to do all you need to do. And remember, it's not just your money. It's your time. It's your actions. It's your love. It's your voice. It's your interaction with people. It's your time with people. It's simply a hug. It's a welcome. It's an invitation. It's come to my table. It's, can I spend time with you? Can I listen to you? Would you listen to me? Can I be there for you? Generosity erupts. It erupts like a volcano. It's like you can have whatever you want on the top. You can have as many quiet years as you like. But when the things begin to move, when that magma begins to move, when the plates start to move, when the earth starts to heat up, it comes ferociously from the ground. And people say, when's this thing ever going to stop? I am telling you, there is a wealth of generosity inside of you. It is not about money. It is not about your circumstances. It's not about if they deserve it or not. It's about the heart of the Father inside of you, and you can trust him. And so I want to pray a prayer of generosity, a release of generosity into your spirit. And I tell you, it's going to put joy in you. It's going to lift sadness. It's going to lift downheartedness. It's going to lift discouragement. It's going to lift depression even. It's going to put you in a better mood. It's going to just raise you up in every area of your life. And you're going to have a spring in your step because you're going to be like, wow, generosity is the key to good health. Generosity is the key. Generous faith. People, men and women of faith that spring up, that rise up in generosity with the heart of God. I tell you what, it changes every single thing about you and it affects the people around you. And suddenly the world starts to change because we're looking more and more like Jesus. Come on, we're going to pray today. I want to ask you if you know Jesus. We've seen a couple different people and other people get saved over the last few weeks. And I want to say to you, today is a good day to get saved. I don't know if you've given your life to Christ, but I want to tell you, you need to because the wages of sin. You know what the wages of sin are? Death. Sin has wages, sin, and everybody needs to get paid. And the wages of sin is death. And if we don't have those wages paid, if we don't have that sin taken from us, if we don't have that sin lifted from us in terms of Jesus dying on the cross, paying the penalty for us, and then he cries out and says, I covered it for them, we suddenly become innocent. If you've not experienced that, then you need to do it today. This would be the greatest gift you could ever receive. And so I want to pray today that you would receive Christ. And I want to say to you, hey, would you have faith to believe in him? Simple. Would you say yes to him? Would you say yes to him and go, hey, I know I'm not right with you, God. I already feel it right now. I know that my life is not right. There's sin in me. And with sin, it's a lost eternity. But with Jesus, it's heaven forever. And it's abundant life here on earth today. So I want to pray. Amen. Can we do that? So Lord, I just thank you today for your goodness. And I pray, Lord, for every heart, every life. And I just pray, guys, if you find yourself not in a relationship with God, you would say yes to him right now. And if you find yourself far from God, that you would say yes to him right now and come home. He loves you so much. And so, Lord, I pray today for anyone who's far from you or needs you, that they would simply go, I need Jesus. And Lord, you'd be faithful and you would hear them and you would remove their sin, give them a brand new start and make them that new creation that you promised. Lord, I just thank you for every person that's listening today. And I pray again what we tend to pray so much. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come and invade our hearts. Remove anything that would cause us to be not generous. Cause that to rise up and stir up inside of us because of the faith we have in Jesus. And let us know that it comes from an overflow, from a flow in our hearts. And as we allow it to flow, it begins to flow from us. Lord, I pray we give our best, not our last. Lord, I pray we give from you, not what we see or what we feel. And I pray that we become more like our dad because our dad has been generous from the start. Jesus, we thank you that one of your many names is Emmanuel. And we thank you, Jesus, you came for us and you transformed us on that cross. And I thank you, Jesus, it's from generosity and you're calling us to the same. You're calling us to the same. And we want to be obedient and faithful to what you've called us to. So Holy Spirit, move in every heart, every life, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.